Amen. A lot of things going through my heart right now. We're going to continue our study on talking with God. And I've just experienced, I know, a lot of good things in the last several weeks in my own personal life as I've been preparing these messages and just kind of thinking a little bit more about what it means to have a relationship with the Creator of the heavens and earth and how all that comes into play. And one thing that's always meant a lot to me is, I guess it's something that I think, do you all have just a special place where you like to go sometimes? You know, a place where you like to maybe get away from everything? Maybe you go there to get restored or unwind or maybe just have some fun. I think we all probably can think of a place like that in our life. And I've found that certain places that we go to, they have different atmospheres, don't they? Different atmospheres. You know, an example might be certain restaurants. Now, you might go to one restaurant, and when you walk in, it just feels really cold and uninviting. But then another place that you go to, it's kind of warm and intimate. And you probably prefer that place more than the other. And I think that, you know, we all like to go to places that make us feel just right, you know. Kind of the Goldilocks philosophy, I guess. You know, not too hot, not too cold, but just right. Moses in the Old Testament, he had a special place that he went, and that was called the Tent of Meeting. And that was a place where he went and he met with God. Now, that was an awesome thing at that time because people didn't really know God like we have experienced Him in ours. And I know that, you know, in the New Testament and through what Jesus Christ did for us, that this thing you see in front of you and what you look at in the mirror is the Tent of Meeting now. God has come to live inside of us. But I want us to look today on a different idea where I think that you and I all need to find a special place where we like to meet with God. A special place we like to meet with God. The passage that we've been looking at, hopefully it's ingrained in our hearts right now, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 to verse 16, it says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Let's pray. Father, we honor You today. We thank You so much for the power of Your Holy Spirit just ministering life to us right now. Lord God, we just want to yield to that anointing that You've given us. Lord, I yield to the gift You put inside of me. I want to use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and, you know, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we honor You today. We bind the devil from trying to steal the Word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to look at a place of prayer, a place of prayer. We're going to look at it from a couple different angles on when you and I approach God, because our goal is to get into or tap into or have access to the throne of grace. As I said, our bodies is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Really, God is inside us right now. If you're born again, the Spirit of God has come to live inside of you. And that's the glory of being a New Testament believer versus an Old Testament believer. So with that, but yet also, I do understand that sometimes you and I need to maybe do certain things or go through certain things that, for lack of a better way of looking at it, activates the presence of God in our life. To activate that. We just got through doing one of them, worship. Worship is one of those things that you and I can do to activate the presence of God in our life. And as I've mentioned before, if you have strife in the home, if you're struggling with anxiety or depression, put on some worship music. Just let it play in the background. And start to change the atmosphere of your home. And chase away the enemy a little bit. And that's the power that praise and worship will do. Also, another thing that we can do it is as we pray. Now, as we look at the attitude or the topic of the place of prayer, the first thing I want to look at is the point of attitude. The attitude that we have when we go and pray with God. Now, to me, it's the place of our self-image. And the first 2 weeks in this series, we looked at hindrances that cause us not to want to enter into God's presence. First, we looked in week one of the inner things that cause us. Maybe it was poor family dysfunctional things with our earthly father, and those things transfer over into our relationship with our heavenly father. And that is a true thing that does happen sometimes. Then last week, we looked at the outer things that sort of can attack us. Number one is the devil. He is a foe, and he tries to keep us out of the presence of God. And also, we have this thing called the flesh, the old man. Those two things. So now we're going to look at some other things that kind of help us to get into there. You know, we need a healthy way of looking at ourselves. Not overconfident, but we need to be confident. And that'll help us to gain access to the presence of God. Now, the word confidence here in this passage, the Greek word here means the act of speaking, freedom or frankness of speaking. So really, this word, you know, is more than just an internal feeling that we need to have confidence, but it's something that is actually spoken out. We speak with confidence. Have you ever went and was talking to somebody and you just maybe were concerned about what might come out of your mouth? That you felt not as confident, so you're very, very close in watching what you say? Because nobody likes to say something stupid in somebody that we're impressed by, do we? Right? I think that's like, you know. And sometimes that can happen, where we feel that way. You know, but we need to have confidence in what we say. You know, I read a story the other day. It was about a young little boy. He's probably 3 or 4 years old. And he was there at the table, and he was drawing a picture. And his mom walked up to him and said, "Hey, what are you doing? What are you drawing?" He says, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." And the mom says, "Honey, nobody knows what God looks like. You can't draw a picture of God." He says, "Well, they'll know what he looks like when I'm done." Right? That's confidence. That's confidence. And see, it's that confidence that you and I need, that because of Jesus, you and I can actually go to God and have the confidence to speak what's on our heart. We have to have that confidence. And that's what's talking with God, is to have that kind of relationship with the Creator. I know it's out there. You know, depending on where you're at in your relationship and your walk with God, that might be a common term for you, but maybe it's something that's foreign because you have never been able to experience or witness that yet. But I want you to know that that kind of communication where you can actually have that sort of confidence and develop a certain comfort level in your walk with God, especially in the ability of communication. Now, I want us to remember something. Remember in that first passage, first scripture? He knows what's in our heart anyway. Right? He knows what's in our heart. God just doesn't look at our actions. He looks at our motives. And he still loves us. That's out there. Because I know what's in my heart sometimes. You know, if we actually acted on everything that's in our heart, we'd probably all be in prison, right? But yet God still wants to have a relationship with you and I. And it's the same kind of relationship that he had with Adam, where they would communicate with each other. You know, when we go to God, we don't have to walk in there with our head down. Have you ever seen a young child or something when they've been so browbeaten down by the world or by the world system or things going on in their life that they just can't look you in the eye? They're just heads down all the time. Their heads just down all the time. And, you know, that's not humility. There is a difference between humility. But this is talking about the idea of going in there and feeling unworthy. Because by Jesus Christ's blood, we're worthy now. Now, I've always mentioned, I want to just share again, there's a difference between being perfect and being worthy. You will never gain perfection this side of glory. Right? None of us can get that good. But we can always walk in a level of worthiness to be able to have that kind of access and that kind of communication with God. See, when we get our glorified body, see, right now we're walking in a body that is prone to evil and prone to sin. I mean, how many has been on a roll maybe spiritually for maybe a month or two, then all of a sudden you just mess up? Where'd that come from? Well, that's the old nature. That old nature that we always have to keep our finger on and hold down. But that's another subject in itself. Now, as I mentioned, he already knows what's in our heart anyway, so we need to be confident. You know, as you read the book of Psalms, you know, David's just crying his heart out to God, and sometimes he's just telling it like it is. He's just saying what's what. And God still loves him, and we have to understand that too. But on the same token, as I want to say that we have confidence when we go to God, you know, we need to have a deep reverence of respect. I read something that was pretty good. It says, "Come with reverence because he's our king, but we also come with boldness because he is our father." Now, I don't know how you guys do it, but, you know, when I go out to the farms, what we call it, and that's where I was raised, it may sound kind of cold, but I don't knock on the door. I go on in. I haven't lived there for quite some time, years. But yet I have confidence to go into my parents' home because I'm related to them. And there's certain things that family can do. Now, I wouldn't go to your house and just walk on in. Maybe Lisa's, I don't know, maybe. I'd go, "Hey, I'm here," you know. But, you know, there's that certain comfort level. And see, that's where you and I need to get, you know, when we come to God. And that's why the Bible says, let us draw near. Now, the goal of drawing near, see, the goal is not just to get there, but we need to linger there once we get into the presence of God. Now, what would it be like, you know, we've all prayed. I mean, we have depends how you play. And I've prayed this. I say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly before the throne of grace. Well, then what? I'm there. Now what do I do? Just walk away? Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt? You know, I've made it into the presence of God? Whoopee. No, there's more to it. The idea of learning how to linger there with God a little bit. Being able to, because I'm a firm believer, you know, God can do anything in a second. I know that, or a nanosecond. But also, I do believe there's the process and there's the way that the more time we spend into God's presence, the better off that we become. And that's why it's good. Now, none of us can live there all the time. I don't think so. Now, maybe somebody can, but, you know, it's very difficult. So, but the idea of just getting there and staying there a little while and just kind of seeing, you know, what God wants to do in our life is very important. So that attitude we can go there. Next, I want to look at the idea of gratitude, and that's the place of our heart. Remember, we started with our self-image. Now we're going to look at the attitude of our heart, and that's important. As I mentioned, if we all did what we wanted to, you know, whatever our heart told us to do, we would be in prison. Many of us would be in prison at this time. Because sometimes, you know, our heart, we know, is our heart is wicked. Our heart is evil and has evil thoughts in it sometimes. You know, how many's been mad when somebody cuts them off on the road? You know, they pull off in front of them or something. You know, we was driving over to see Caleb a couple weeks ago, and it was just kind of on I-80 there, and starting to get a little bottlenecked, you know, and tight traffic, you know, and all that stuff, and, you know, somebody in the left lane wasn't getting over, so everybody's getting mad, you know what I mean? And, you know, you've all been there probably. But, you know, what happened was, here comes this lady. She's just had the window down and, you know, just hair blowing in the wind in a Cadillac. And she just had her hand doing something, one thing, and just kind of... Then all of a sudden, she come up heavy on traffic. She was in the right lane. Boom! Just slipped right in the left lane. Right in front of a guy. Boom, slammed on his brakes. Didn't hit her. He was mad. If he would have done what was in his heart at that time, she'd have been dead. Well, 2 or 3 miles down the road, he got her back. He purposely went in the right lane, got ahead of her, and then just whipped right over in front of her and kind of hit the brakes a little bit. He was mad. You know, but see, our heart, you know, is wicked sometimes. So gratitude is very important, that when you and I need to experience and be able to walk in when we go to God. Now, as we, most of us pray, most of us have a bucket list, don't we? You know, a bucket list of what we want God to do. And I want us to look beyond that right now. It's okay to ask God for things, and I just want to put that out as a full disclaimer. It's okay to ask God for stuff, but I want us to get beyond that kind of deal and to get into another experience with our Heavenly Father. You know, we just sometimes just want to spend time with Him, and just instead of just getting through the list, you know. A lot of us like to go to Walmart, but also we like to go to God Mart, don't we? God Mart. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I need this. God, I need that. You know, and that's all it becomes. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, talking with God is just not talking to God. How many don't like silence? Certain people I know that when they're in conversation with somebody, when there's a lull, they have to say something. They just don't like that oddness or that awkwardness of silence. Can I say it? My wife. She just, all of a sudden, she'll start talking. And sometimes it'll take us off track of where we was heading. You know, and I'm saying, come on, turn back. But anyway, but I'm more quiet, so she is handy to have around. I ain't going to tell you. You know, sometimes I just like to kick back and listen. Glory. That way I don't have to think a lot. I just kind of enjoy the experience. But, you know, I think it's good and it's okay when you go into God's presence just to be quiet. Just to be quiet a little bit. Let God have a chance. You know, let God maybe say something to you. Now, I'm going to tell you, God doesn't speak to me every time I pray. So don't feel that if you go into God's presence and you don't feel God talking to you about something right then, that, oh man, God doesn't love me or I did it wrong. No. I'll tell you how it really works with me. Sometimes I'll just get into God's presence, and then later on in the day, because I've learned how to quiet myself down, then all of a sudden God will start giving me witnesses on the inside about some things. Some things that He wants me to know, and maybe some things that He wants me to do here at the church. And so I don't get all hung up if I'm praying for a little while and then I don't get clear direction from God about it at that time. You know, so don't get yourself in a box where you think it has to be like that. You know, and some people give the wrong, you know, when I first started out being a Christian, I was very, I didn't know a lot about God. I mean, I mainly learned a lot of what I knew knew about God just from, you know, picking it up from other people. And I'll be honest, some of it wasn't truly very biblical. Well, then I got hanging around these zealots or whatever, and they were, you know, you go up and talk to them. I still remember what they look like. I mean, I can see their faces right now. There's these three girls, and they said all the time is, you know, God told me this, and God told me that, and God told me to do this, and God told me to do that, and, you know, just all the time he was around them. It's just like they had this holy connection with God, you know, and it made me feel intimidated because I tried praying and I didn't have that kind of connection. So I felt inadequate. until I watched their life. God might have told them something, but they sure as heck didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? So don't get all hung up if you feel somebody saying, you know, on this or that, you know. You just kind of keep heading towards God your way. So as we're listening to God, so we're just not asking for stuff, and but we're thanking Him for His presence. Now, something that always amazes me is how we, you know, I wonder what kids think when we say, oh God, we just want Your presence. I wonder if they think presence like Christmas time, you know what I mean? You know, I wonder how many times they get that, you know, kind of confused. Oh yeah, God, we want this and we want that. And sometimes we as Christians can get that way too. But I'll be honest, I know it's hard to fathom, but you may need a lot of money in your life because you have something going down. But being in God's presence is worth more than all that money if God could ever give you. Just to be in His presence. Now, I've been thinking about this. One thing that bothers me is that so many people struggle with anxiety these days. It seems like there's been a demonic spirit been released, especially in our culture. And maybe it's because of our busyness and all these things, but anxiety is something that's out there. And, you know, I just got to thinking, the cure for anxiety really is God's presence. You know, spending time with God and quieting yourself down and just getting into His presence and letting Him permeate our mind and our thought, and it'll take that agitation away as well as praise and worship. So all these things. So maybe you struggle with that. I encourage you to, you know, start to deploy these sort of things in your life. You know, what would you think if your kids, now maybe it is, I know it is like this sometimes, but if your kids just come up to you and only time they talk to you is when they wanted money. Don't raise your hand, because we all know what that's like, amen? You know, not, hey, how's it going today? You know, now I know some of them are pretty shrewd. We have one that can work the system a little bit and, you know, pretty good chatter and, you know, tell us stuff and then, you know, until they get what they want, but that's all good. You know, at least we got a little conversation out of the deal. But, you know, that's kind of how it works sometimes is that, you know, so I want us to get beyond that. Now, like I said, it's okay to ask for stuff. You know, certain relationships in your life, think about it. You probably have some relationships that are just transactional, meaning it's what we can get from each other. It's kind of like a business thing. You know, maybe you have people in your life that, if you do this, I'll do this. And that's the kind of relationship it is. And it's based on performance, right? But see, I want us to get to with God that's relational. Do you have somebody in your life, and if you don't, I'm sorry. You know, maybe, you know, just pray that God will bring them into your life. But God will be this way. But what about a relationship that is just relational? You just enjoy each other's company. You don't have to ask each other for anything. You just enjoy being with that person. And see, that's what I want for us in our relationship with God. That it's just relational, that we just enjoy being in that. And, you know, and I know God, I mean, He's a Heavenly Father, a loving Heavenly Father, and what it does is, you know, the transactional relationships, what they do is they take value from our lives. But if we get over and transfer over into the relational part where we just get to a place where we're just spending time and we want to be in that presence, well, what that does is going to add value to our life. And I think we all need value in our life. I want to look at a scripture now in Matthew 6. And Jesus was talking here and was giving his followers some pretty good clues on prayer. And really what prayer is all about. He said, when you pray, that's not if you pray, right? He said, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Beautiful passage on prayer. Gives us some insight on just relational and how God wants us to be. And the point I want to look at now is latitude and longitude. Remember, we started with the first one, which was talking about attitude. Then we went to gratitude. Now it's latitude and longitude. See how those all kind of rhyme? Isn't that cool? I really had to work on that, guys. No, they came to me in prayer. Aha. No, just kidding. Okay, now, so the place of prayer, and this is what I want us to see. Because, you know, we looked at, the place of our self-image, which we got to have the right image going in. Then we have looked at the place of our heart, and we have to look at the right attitude. But now, I want us to get to a physical place of prayer. Now, most of us, if not all of us, sometimes pray when we're driving. Some people should pray before they drive. Amen? Huh? We all know somebody like that. Maybe we are somebody like that. And that's good. It's good to pray. But I'll be honest with you. You should not close your eyes at that time and go by faith, right? And your mind is also on other things, like not hitting somebody, right? So it's okay to pray at that time because it's a good opportunity because there's nothing else to do. But I want us to look at getting to the place where we carve out a little time in our day and we have what I like to call sanctified prayer or set apart prayer. A time when we go that we just want to spend time with God. Because I do know we can pray anywhere at any time. The Bible says pray without ceasing, all these things, and it's all good. But, you know, I think we need to find that place. And, you know, there's two kinds of prayer we're going to look at maybe as we go on. Is we should, you know, corporate and individual prayer. Corporate's what we do together with other people, two or three people. And then also praying when we're by ourselves, all alone. And as I mentioned, a very powerful form of prayer is when a husband and wife can pray together. And if you don't do that and you're married, you ought to. It's going to feel uncomfortable, sometimes especially for the guy. I don't know why, but some guys don't like praying with their wives. I don't know what the scoop is on that. But it's a good thing to do because the greatest union is between a husband and wife. And then the idea that you two praying together, agreeing on stuff is really a good thing. But that'll be another subject at another time. So the idea, you know, now corporate prayer, we say, well, Pastor, you know, he said about those Pharisees or whatever they were that, you know, prayed for show. That's not what corporate prayer is about. See, it's about the attitude of your heart. See, when the Pharisees did it, you know, they'd dress up in their religious garb and had all their things on, and they'd go out there and they would just pray and let everybody see, hey, look at me, I'm praying. You know, I'm spiritual. But see, that's not what corporate prayer is all about. See, corporate prayer is like when we come together and we agree together and we pray. The greatest revivals in our nation have been birthed by the prayers of groups of people coming together wanting to move of God's Spirit. And so that's important to do. So we come together as a group and pray. But I'm going to mainly talk today about the attitude of being alone and praying. You know, we need to have that special place where you go and pray. Now, the special place can be a place in your heart. I know that. You know, Jesus talked about a prayer closet. Does that mean you remodel your house and you build a room? You know, some of you went to that movie called The War Room, right? It's good to have a little place like that. So me, I do it a little different. I'm going to go into that, and I've shared this before, you know, with the congregation, how I do it. But he did talk about, you know, a prayer closet and finding that special place. And I've shared this experience before. I remember listening to somebody speak one time, and they told us all how God told her to... This young girl had been struggling her walk. She was kind of backslidden in very bad relationships, if you know what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden, God told this lady that had a farm, he says, I want you to go and offer your horse to this young girl so she can ride your horse. Well, he said, wow, that's kind of weird. You know, why would I do that? But she was obedient. And she told this, come up to this girl and says, hey, I have horses on the farm if you like to ride, if you like to come out and ride. Yeah, great. Well, she went out. One month or two later, the girl come up and told her, she said, you know, how that changed her life. She said, when I was a little girl, I used to ride a horse, and that's the time that I talked with God. That was my place. And I've grown away from God for quite a long time now. And the fact that you let me ride your horses, I've gotten my life right with Christ again. And that lady had no idea. But see, that was that girl's special place. You might have another special place. You need to find that place. Now, you need to be, you know, flexible. I mean, sometimes it don't work out all the time. You know, if it rains, you can't ride your horse, so you can't pray that day. You know, I mean, you got to get around some of that stuff. But I think that we can all find that place. Now, for me, it's going to sound weird, but I put a blanket over my head. I sat in my recliner. Used to have a beanbag chair, and it died. That was my favorite. But I have a recliner, and we got one of the best gifts I ever got. When my wife and I got married, a friend of mine, he gave us a big blanket. And that blanket's long enough. I like it so it covers my toes and my head. Hey, everybody's weird. That's my weirdness. That's not all my weirdness, but that's some of my weirdness. But what I do is when I put that over me, it's my way of tuning everything else out around me, where I have no distractions. No light is bothering my eyes. You know, I'm not bothered by the other little things around. And I'll just go under there and I'll pray. And that's my place. So really, wherever I take my blanket can be my place, right? Now, I have a blanket in my office. It's too short. I don't like that blanket. So when I pray here at church, it's not as fun. Because I still pray, but I mean, so I need to get me a bigger blanket, you know? But that's just how I like to do it. And it brings, you know, in the Old Testament, the Jews had prayer shawls and stuff, so maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But for me, that's just what I've done. And it helps me to get into the presence of God. And so you need to find out what works for you. Now, as I've shared before, you know, have a paper and pen ready when you pray. Have one at your disposal, because the first thing that happens when you sit down to pray, you're going to think of something that you need to be doing right now. Something that you got to do. So you can either sit there and worry about it for the time you're praying, or you can just write it down on a piece of paper. See, and once you take it out of your mind, it's no longer a distraction. I mean, these are just little tricks you can use. And so that's one thing you can do. And then also, you're going to get some good ideas. You know, God's going to give you some nuggets. When you're praying, God is going to give you little witnesses inside of you. Maybe he'll bring up something to your remembrance, maybe a scripture, maybe something that's said in a sermon, and then you write that down, and then you kind of meditate on that and explore it. You know, so God's going to give you some nuggets, and you know, you're going to get some good ideas, you're going to get some God ideas. And like I mentioned, you know, sometimes I may not feel like God has given me a lot of instruction during prayer, but after I pray, because I've quieted myself down, and I'm not so anxious all the time, then during the day, you know, God may give me a witness about something and just how things kind of work out. So that's kind of how you can talk with God. And you need to find your place. Now, another little thing you can do, because some of you may try to pray. Now, I like to pray first thing in the morning, and I'll pray later on in the day too. But if you pray before you go to work, you know, these little gizmos, this 15 square inches of screen, a cell phone, have timers on them. Let's say you got to start getting ready for work at this time right here. Let's say you got to start getting ready at 7 o'clock. You set, you know, so you can set this thing as a timer and then take it out from under your blanket, amen. If not, you'd be tempted to go on Facebook and look at everything, right? Or at wherever you're at, keep it away. But set a timer. So you're not worried about over-praying, which that wouldn't be a bad thing to have happen, would it? To pray too long? Has anybody ever done that? Oh, I prayed too long today. No, we don't usually do that. Usually we sit down after 3 or 4 minutes. My gosh, how long has it been in here, you know? But I'll be honest, the more you pray, the more you get used to it. We've been doing Saturday morning prayer here for about a month or so now. We pray for an hour. You say, ugh! They don't pray the whole time. You can do some other things. You can read. You can do other things. But I will say this, the more we pray, the faster the time has gone. Because we're training our flesh to settle down. So I encourage you, come out on a Saturday morning, once a month, 9 o'clock, and dedicate that. Say, I want to pray corporately. You know, because we need all the prayer we can get. We're wanting to touch this community and this world with Jesus Christ. And God does a lot of things because we pray. If we don't pray, maybe that's why we don't see things happen. Amen? Or oh my. So, as we're talking with God, I encourage you to adapt some of these things this week. You know, maybe, you know, I don't like to put times on stuff, you know, like an hour. You know, but when I first got saved, I've told this story. The big thrust in the body of Christ was, could you tarry 1 hour? So there's big teachings going around about how you pray for an hour. So they had it all broke down. And I'll be honest, it got more like you was watching the clock than you were spending time with God. You know, so that happened. So I don't really like to put times, but, you know, I think you could easily, you know, set a goal of, you know, 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes to start out. And next week, I'm going to pass out some information that'll help you in your prayer walk, so you don't want to miss next week. And, you know, you'll never be the best that you can be as a Christian unless you have a good prayer life. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Because it's that communication and that connection with God that really helps to make us who we're supposed to be. And that the level of intimacy that is developed through prayer. And that's why I say only husbands and wives should pray together, you know, when they're alone. Or somebody that's maybe going to get married pretty soon. I wouldn't ever tell two single people, I would never give two single people, a man and a woman, an instruction as a pastor to, hey, you guys need to meet every day and pray together. I would never do that. Because there's a level of intimacy that is developed through prayer when you come in connection with God together. So it's a dangerous thing. You know, so we need to be careful about that. So the reason why I'm saying that is I know that sometimes problems happen at work, don't they? Huh? People get connected to somebody they shouldn't connect with. So if you're in a job situation and maybe you're having struggles in your marriage and somebody from the opposite sex offers to pray with you, you know, I would just tell them to pray for me. You know, maybe tell them pray for my marriage, but don't go and pray with them together alone, because it's just not good to do that. So, amen. Well, that's a little bit about talking with God and how to do that. So your assignment, like I said this week, is to try some of this. You know, get a notebook, get a pen. If you can't afford one, one will be provided for you. Amen. We got a bunch of free ones, you know, when they had the sales. So we'll be glad to help you out. And write stuff down. You know, my wife is a prayer warrior. She just writes her prayer journals and everything. That's not how I do it, but it just amazes me. You know, how she does that and keeps track of it and sees the answered prayer. So, amen. Well, let's pray. Let's close. Amen.